Hello, Sybil. Brother Michael here. God bless you, sister. I was just trying to reply to your kind email. Loved the quote. And I realize I should probably just explain to you briefly. One of the reasons why you may have reached out to me is so that I can warn you about apologetics. I am totally 100% against apologetics. And I'm going to give you a very good reason why. And may the Lord help you to see this. So, apologetics is something that is highly, highly valued by a lot of professing Christians. And naturally, men in these days of darkness, and they see darkness and wickedness all around them, and they hurt for their family members and friends, and they want so much for them to have anything they can to try to convince, you know, listen, you're in the dark and you need to see the truth and you come to Christ. Okay, I could speak to you for so long about this. God help me. I just want to give you the basics. Okay, I'm going to try to bullet point this for you. All right. The principle in scripture is that you'll recognize a tree by its fruit, and a seed produces after its own kind. Okay. When you come to faith, I'm not saying you came to faith, but when people come to faith through apologetics, it's hard for me to believe if any true Christians can come out of this. The Bible says faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Apologetics has a tendency to put the emphasis on all things that you can see. It wants you to believe based on what somebody found at the end of a shovel dig on the backside of Israel, what somebody saw through a telescope, or what somebody scientifically discovered down the tube of a microscope. It's constantly trying to validate Christ based on things that you have seen. Even worse than that, you have this derelict apologetics from Ravi Zacharias. I have stood against this guy for years in my recordings, long before it became known he was a serial adulterer, and he's train wrecked his entire ministry. But long before this ever came out, you can hear recordings where I'm standing against this apologetics ministry. He is not defending the same faith as Jesus Christ is. And even if he was, he's not doing it the same way. This guy comes up with all this philosophy. Even though he wraps scripture around it, he talks about, the seven fundamentals of discovering and understanding the quintessential essentials of faith and understanding how to dissect and discern truth. And I'm looking at all of this and I'm going, nonsense, 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 nonsense. False Christians value apologetics. I'm going to make a blanket statement to you. I am very adamant, fiery about this, sister, and scripture proves that what I'm telling you is true. When you look at a couple of things, the Bible says, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says, how faith comes. The faith that pleases God is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:2, we believe the universe by faith was formed, not because we see it in a telescope or because scientific studies or because space station information, so forth and so on. When you look at all the work that people like a Ravi Zacharias, I'm going to use him as an example because people felt he was the greatest apologist. He was without a doubt the most intelligent of them, and because he could bend atheists in half and make them look like idiots. Now who looks like the idiot? The guy who's a serial adulterer looks like an idiot. And people don't trust anything he said, and everything he said came to naught. And let me tell you something, it was always for naught, because it produces a false Christian. Okay, so watch this. I have a family member. I prayed about this, and the Lord showed me this. A seed produces after its own kind. I have a family member who largely came to Christ based on the fact that they saw a documentary about a certain astrological phenomenon that seemed to somehow or another prove factually something about the story of Jesus Christ. And this person made a huge deal out of this, that this was a huge part of why they came to faith in Christ. So right now you'd be going, exactly, Michael, this is why apologetics is so important. Well, let me tell you the rest of the story. For over a decade, this individual has never had the kind of faith that pleases God. The Bible says there is a group of people in Hebrews 4 called the righteous, and the righteous, according to Scripture, shall live by faith. Live by faith. Not come to Christ by faith alone, not intellectually assent to the idea of belief in Christ and therefore you're done and you just make this one-time decision of faith. No, you live by faith. And so what ends up happening is this person is never believing any of the things that God is doing in my life until after the fact. In fact, they stand against it. They have not believed it. They have warned against it. They have persecuted me for it, et cetera, et cetera. They're only ever believing, sister, after the fact. This is not faith, and they do not get credit from God for any of this. This is unbelief. This is one of the greatest sins in Scripture. You can go read Psalm 78, 18 through 22. They believed in God. They saw all these amazing miracles, and God looks at them square in the eyes and says, you do not believe in me, and you do not trust in me, and his fire and his wrath broke out against them because they did not believe in God or trust in his deliverance. Well, of course they believed in God, but they didn't believe in God according to what he said, which meant for them to trust him. And the Bible says that they treated him with contempt, and he wanted to destroy them because they didn't believe him, not because they didn't believe he existed, but because they did not believe him practically to deliver him. Okay, the Bible says, where does faith come from? It comes from hearing the word of Christ, not by looking at a telescope, a shovel dig, or a microscope, or apologizing for all these philosophies and this particular, you know, paradigm shift and this particular system and this particular philosophy and this particular method that we've understand how to perceive and achieve and understand absolute truth. No, this is malarkey, malarkey, malarkey. Case for Christ, malarkey, malarkey, malarkey. Look at the church these people are associated with. One of the biggest movies ever, Apologetics, Case for Christ, books, Lee Strobel, probably sold more copies than any other apologetic book out there. It's all malarkey. It's all garbage. It's all part of the false Babylon harlot Christianity. It is garbage. Absolute garbage. Let me explain this to you. You think of the words of Jesus Christ to Thomas in John chapter 20, where you know that there's doubting Thomas. He says, I will not believe until I can, you know, put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side. I will not believe it. Now, how does Jesus Christ address this? He's saying, I will not believe this until I see it. Okay, that's largely what apologetics is trying to do. All right, biblical reasoning with somebody and being an apologist where you're apologizing, you're basically proving Scripture with Scripture, that's totally different. That doesn't account for anything I'm talking about. I'm talking about all these things where people try to reach outside of Scripture to prove God. No way. It is absolutely a counterfeit. Jesus Christ, listen to these deadly words he says to Thomas. I'm not even sure Thomas is in heaven after this. Thomas says to him, after he says, my Lord, my God, what is his words to it? Oh, come to my salvation. Come, blessed of the Lord. No. Jesus says, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Thomas, you're not blessed. Do you understand? If you really look at the seriousness of this, Jesus Christ is saying, you're not blessed, Thomas. Blessed are those. It's like when the person said, oh, blessed is the woman who gave you birth. And what does Jesus say? He says, no. She's not blessed. Blessed, rather, are those who hear the words of God and put them into practice. Those who do the will of God. You see this? Jesus completely contradicts. He even said again to Mary, well, you know, your mother and brothers are here. Your family is here. And Jesus said, who is my mother and brothers? They are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Here he says, Thomas, you have seen me and you've believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Look, Jesus Christ makes it clear. John 3, 3 through 8. I think it's John 8:44, John 6:44, several places, John 6:65. He says nobody can come to him except for those who the Father has enabled. And he says, just as the Father gives life to the dead, so the Son of Man gives eternal life to all he chooses. He says in John 3-8, the Holy Spirit is like a wind. You cannot see where it's coming from or where it's going. I find all of the scripture says a person cannot believe unless the Holy Spirit enlightens their heart. It has nothing to do with a false counterfeit believer like Ravi Zacharias, all these apologists out there. I'm telling you, watch this. When you come to Jesus Christ, remembering that a seed produces after its own kind, when you come to Jesus Christ based on what you have seen outside of scripture, what you saw through a telescope, a microscope, or at the end of a shovel dig, or some philosophical approach to truth, anything outside of scripture, apologetics-wise, that points to anything, even an archaeological dig in Israel with biblical artifacts, this is all nonsense for belief. This is not how anybody who's ever a true Christian has ever come to faith. If you study the Puritans, if you study Tozer, if you study Murray, if you study Charles Spurgeon, Andrew Murray, if you study any of these, Thomas Brooks, Thomas Watson, Thomas Boston, if you look at any of these greats, you will not find apologetics amongst any of them, Sybil. None. None. This person who I told you about in my family, a seed produces after its own kind. They have a counterfeit faith and they're convinced they're right with God. Their faith is counterfeit. Watch this. Because they came to God based on what they could see and they only believed after they saw something, guess what? That's the way their faith has always been since then. They can never believe anything until after they see it. Now, I ask you a question. Do you believe based on what scripture says that that is a faith that can please God? And if that's not a faith that can please God, how can it be a faith that saves that person who's so convinced they have faith in God? And a seed produces after its own kind. God showed this to me. If you come to God through apologetics rather than through the word of Christ and through the words in the Bible, you will have a counterfeit faith and your faith will produce the exact type of plant that it was started with as a seed. They will produce the exact same kind of fruit. You will constantly need to intellectually approve. Let me tell you what the problem is with this kind of faith. When you have to see something outside of what's in the scripture, outside of just the simple illumination of the Holy Spirit, and it's beyond the words of Christ, and you have to go to the telescope, microscope, or the shovel, or again, the seven principles for developing truth or discerning truth or whatever. Okay. When you go to something like this, what you're doing is you're taking human understanding and human sense and you're going to God and you're trying to bring God down to the depraved, corrupt level of human understanding. This is why apologetics is so rotten. Remember Luke 16:15, that which is highly valued in the eyes of men is despicable or detestable in the eyes of God. What do men in these churches value so much? They love apologetics. God despises it. It has nothing to do with true conversion. It has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit convicting men of their sins. Nothing to do with Jesus Christ giving salvation to whom he chooses. It has to do nothing with true faith, which is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. It has nothing to do with because you have seen me, you believe, but blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. It completely contradicts Jesus Christ's teachings of what he says is true faith. As Peter would say in 2 Peter chapter 1, have you received a faith as precious as ours? A faith that's living, a faith that's breathing, a faith that continues to trust, that lives by faith. Or do you have this kind of faith that because you saw something, you finally said, okay, now I can bring God down to my level. Now I can believe God because I've brought him down to my corrupt human level. I've seen with my eyes, heard with my ears. And you bring God down to your level rather than you bringing yourself humbly down to your level, which is zero, and saying, oh God, help me. I see in scripture, help me. See, this apologetics, men don't understand this. It's an attempt to bring God down to the level of human reasoning. And this has never been acceptable to God. It is always that men must bring themselves down to the level of nothingness before God will lift them up. You don't dare bring God down to the level of human intellect. You don't bring the things of God down to the level of human intellect, not faith. You can explain and reason the scriptures, and you can explain and reason principles and biblical facts and things like that. Sure, you use reasoning, but as it relates to having faith, it is a thing of the Spirit. It's a thing of the Holy Spirit ministering this to somebody's heart and somebody's spirit. And we don't dare say, oh, you can't believe God like people have for thousands of years. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring God down to you through a telescope so you can believe it, God, at the human intellect and leaning on human understanding and leaning on human five senses. I'm going to bring him down through a microscope. I'm going to bring him down through a shovel dig. I'm going to bring him down through, you know, the seven principles. And so once your hardened, darkened, corrupt atheist mind can finally have some way of making human sense out of God and human sense out of faith, and you can intellectually reason that there must be a God, you can intellectually reason that perhaps the Bible is really true, then you can believe him. What kind of faith are you going to have? You're never going to have a faith that pleases God. Your faith is always going to be based upon, if I see it, then I will believe it. And that's exactly what has happened with this person in my family. This is what I have talked about for years in my journal recordings. If you come to God through an apologetics, you will always have a faith that must believe only after it has seen, and that cannot please God. Give it some thought. May God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ to help you see this. And may, if you want to go listen to, you know, this other stuff you're talking about, go for it. That's wonderful that you found some other people that are encouraging you. I'm not saying you follow me. I say you follow Jesus and follow the Bible, but I'm telling you, apologetics is not something God is pleased with at all. And I would challenge anybody in the world on this. In fact, I would ask somebody, show me somebody who came to God through apologetics, who has a living, breathing faith. And I would be shocked to find somebody that has that. I would truly be shocked to find somebody that has a faith that they came through reason of science, through reason of fact, through things they can see, and that somehow or another, that faith turned into something other than the seed which produced after its own kind and became a faith that can walk by faith and believe God for things it cannot see. I would be shocked to see it. I don't believe it exists. I really don't. I'm not saying there aren't people that aren't intelligent, that aren't finding some way to think about and reason out the scriptures. No, I'm not saying that they can't, but there has to be a moment where the Holy Spirit does this work. And I do not see this in apologetics. And sister, it hasn't been needed for thousands of years. This is never the way people come. You don't see this in scripture. It's completely absent from scripture. The scripture says the only apologetics needed is in Romans chapter 1 and 2. It says that all of creation testifies. It doesn't say you got to go get a shovel dig, a telescope. You don't have to have a conference about it. You don't have to have a microscope. These things didn't exist for thousands of years. May God bless you in Jesus' name. Bye-bye. Michael commentary. All these years later, after I have held so strong to my belief about apologetics being worthless, I draw a strong line in the sand even today. I believe what I have just said in this recording from a few years ago even more now. And I've had people try to make good arguments to me in emails about it, and I've gone into greater explanation from the Bible. But I see all over the place where the notion that I can reach outside the Bible and convince you of God or Jesus Christ and faith therein is an idea that is foreign to the Bible. All over, when the Bible speaks of election, Jesus Christ speaks about revealing God. In fact, if you were to look at, say, John 17:6, look at what Jesus says. Jesus says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. Think about how God revealed Christ, revealed himself to the apostle Paul. Did he need any apologetics? Did he need anybody? No. In order to know God, it has to be a revelation of Jesus Christ in your heart. And that faith that pleases God comes from Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God, or rather the word of Christ. That's where faith comes from. Brothers and sisters, I am telling you, if you have found faith through apologetics, means of men to explain and reason with you why there is a God, it's so titillating to humans to do this. See, if I could come up with all kinds of clever YouTube videos, and boy, I probably could, to help prove to you that you're a fool if you think there is no God, and reach forth to find all kinds of evidence, a plethora of which there is out on the internet. Think of the pride that might come into my heart because I'm the one that revealed God to you. I'm the one that annihilated your atheistic arguments and got you to believe there was a God. No, that credit will never be given to me. It will never be given to a Ravi Zacharias, who we now know absolutely is in hell. It will never be given to any of these people who are trying to reach outside of God's word. God's word is enough. And if you cannot get somebody to believe in Jesus Christ and God through the Bible, or through their testimony of the Bible, somebody who themselves found God and they testify to you, this Jesus that the Bible talks about, he is real. He's revealed himself to me. I look all the way back to the foundation of my own faith. How did I find faith in Jesus Christ? I believed that Christianity was for weak people. Mind you, I'm 15 years old. What do I know about weak people at 15? But I have this brother, Matt, sitting there telling me about Jesus. You should come to church, and Jesus and the cross and salvation and faith and all this stuff. But how did I find faith? I stepped out by the providence of God onto a piece of paper that wasn't trying to prove to me God outside of the Bible. It simply asked me, if I died in a car accident right now, would I go to heaven or hell? And I knew, honestly, I couldn't answer. That noble, honest heart said, I don't know the answer to this question. So what did I do? I remember I went back and I took a Bible, and I think it was about a 2-week period. It's such a sweet, sweet thought of me, a 15-year-old teenager, so broken, family dysfunctionality, so broken from family dysfunction, sitting in my little room in that little condo in Winter Park, Florida, reading a Bible that nobody's ever taught me about. And I started reading about Jesus Christ. And I remember falling in love with who he was and being amazed at who Jesus Christ was. Now, where did Michael Criswell's faith come from? Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Jesus Christ. You see, if I wasn't elect and Jesus Christ didn't make himself known to me, and I remained in unbelief, you might have been able to come up with some really clever intellectual arguments or evidences to convince me that I'm foolish for believing otherwise, but you would have never reached the place of my heart that Jesus Christ reached by revealing himself to me. We can't try hard to convince people about God. Only Jesus can reveal himself. A revelation in the heart must take place by Jesus, not by some clever intellectual argument about evidence outside of the Bible that Jesus was real. You know, do you know that there's a reason why there is virtually no historical evidence, as in things you can put your hands on, to prove that Jesus Christ ever walked on the face of the earth? It's been a long time since I watched those documentaries, but there are other people around his time and even earlier that there is more historical evidence of other people's existence even before Jesus than there is Jesus, the most influential and most famous person who has ever lived. I believe that is 100% by God's design and purpose and his will. It's the same exact thinking of God when Jesus Christ says to doubting Thomas, "You believe because you see. Blessed are those who have not seen and believed." Isn't that in keeping with the ways of God then to hide all of the evidence that we would run to with our eyes? Men led by their eyes. Brothers and sisters, in Romans chapter 9, it makes it very clear that God's choice and election in the salvation of souls has absolutely nothing to do with your effort or someone else's effort. It says it does not, therefore, depend on man's desire or effort, but on the mercy of God. I tell you, if you are someone who is fascinated by apologetics, if you really want to have a breakthrough with Jesus Christ, I would say make straight paths for the Lord to travel. I'm not asking you to set down a sin in particular. I'm asking you consider setting aside and throwing away your intellect for a while. And like a child, remember Jesus said, unless we change and become like little children, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And you would never find little children messing around with the kind of apologetic messages and teachings and YouTube videos and systems that are out there today. These are the clever inventions of men, and men become so enamored with themselves, so filled with pride. You know something? No one on this earth can take credit for causing me to believe in God and Jesus Christ, except for Jesus Christ himself. No one. I sat in that condominium all by myself with godless parents who couldn't teach me anything about Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ revealed himself to me through his word. There was no telescopes. There was no shovel digs on the backside or trips to Israel. There was no microscopes. There was no clever YouTube videos. YouTube didn't exist. When I became a Christian, it was all Jesus. It was all Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing. Try to tell me that faith comes somewhere else. Please try to contradict God's word and say you found a way better than God's word did. Do you realize that's what apologetics is? Apologetics says, no. Faith doesn't come only by hearing the word of Jesus Christ. It comes by me getting out the telescope. It comes by me getting you the YouTube video. It becomes by me going to Israel and getting out the shovel and starting to dig to prove. It becomes by me showing you this documentary, by me getting you on the backside of a telescope, looking up, by me showing you this algorithm that shows all these things about when Jesus Christ was actually born. No, brothers and sisters, these unfortunately are the faulty designs of men. Men are so clever. I was once like this. I used to be like this. I tell you the truth, I look back on sadness. I used to be in business and I traveled every single week thousands of miles from Florida to California, Arizona, Nevada, and Utah. It was my sales territory. And I got to the point where, as you can imagine, I have kind of a way with words, especially when I was in sales and I was taught how to overcome objections, all leaning on natural human psychology and manipulation. And I had a way with words, and I was very confident in my ability to communicate. And I got to a point where I would long for an atheist to sit next to me on the airport, in the airplane. And it was like I couldn't wait to overpower them with words. Because you see, if you sat next to me as an atheist, I don't care how smart you were going to run out of words and arguments before I did. And that's how I made so much money in sales. Today, I appeal to you in the name and in the word and in the grace and in the spirit of Jesus Christ. Yes, I have passion behind my words. Yes, I'm very convicted that I speak to you the truth. But as you can see from the number of people by the thousands that have turned against me, I'm not able to convince anyone of anything. It doesn't matter how much of a silver tongue someone may accuse me of having, and I don't have one that much anymore. Honestly, I have to correct myself an awful lot. Even my wife makes fun of me quite often because I get words front to back, or I say words that are just not even in the English language. But even when I had such a command and was able to quickly think on my feet, I tell you today, I now know it's never been me ever that's convinced anybody. And if anybody was ever convinced of God because of me, apart from the Holy Spirit, it's a false faith. It's a false convincing that will lead to nothing.
This calls for absolute humility, that men must set down their pride in thinking that they can bring God down to their level, that we can reason God out by intellect. You'll find that nowhere in the Bible, nowhere. So if you're someone who's interested in apologetics, even if you believe you came to faith by apologetics, I would challenge you. Do you have a living, breathing experience of the abundant life behind your belief system? You know, again, you can enter into the belief system of Christianity and be convinced that it is the truth without ever actually entering through the belief system into the living kingdom of God that the belief system and story points you to. That's where it becomes a living, breathing faith and Christian experience. And I find it very difficult to believe that God will honor a person's faith in the kingdom of God who came by having to see the clever reasoning and presentation of facts and rebuttals by men who most likely themselves don't have true faith. Can I just say to you, to make my point that I've been saying this for years, I stood against Ravi Zacharias, and although I respected who he appeared to be, his abilities as an intellect were shocking and amazing, and he could annihilate atheists. He could absolutely embarrass them. And I saw that this was not pleasing to God, and I've been speaking out about it for years, that would not generate a true faith that comes from heaven. Remember John 3:27, scripture that tells us a man can only receive what is given him from heaven. It's interesting that we then see the meltdown that happened in Ravi Zacharias's life just before he died. And it came out that he was completely false. And he was a womanizer. And he was involved in all kinds of inappropriate sexual sin with multiple women. Here's a guy who looked like he could walk on water intellectually. And he destroyed atheists, and Christians championed him. And it's like, isn't it amazing how God says, he who exalts himself shall be humbled. That's an exaltation. That's a pride. I just wanted to share that with you, that you would see that the faith that Ravi Zacharias himself found in Jesus Christ was a false faith. It was counterfeit. If it would have been a true faith, it would have never allowed him to live as an absolute blazing hypocrite, living the lifestyle that he did, that became evident after he passed away, shortly before and then thereafter. Do you see that? What kind of faith did the greatest? I mean, honestly, can you find a better apologist anywhere? Rewind the clock when he's still a shining star and being exalted as one of the greatest gifts to Christianity. But what kind of faith does he have? Is it a faith that produced holiness? Is it a faith that produced a fear of God? Is it a faith that produced obedience, humility, childlike faith? Is it a faith that produced denying himself, taking up his cross to do God's will, hating the world, walking and living by faith? Did it produce that? No, it produced pride. It produced worldliness. It produced wealth. It produced exaltation. It produced the praise of men. It produced knowledge that puffs up. And in the end, it produced something in him that was not holy. A tree produces after its own kind. I know some of you struggle and you love and you want to defend apologetics. I'm telling you, I drive the line in the sand as deep as I can. I can almost tell you, if you're somebody that appreciates apologetics and you're depending upon it, it is your intellectual stimulation that deceives you into thinking that you are so pleasing to God and that God is so pleased with you. And I could almost practically guarantee you, if I sat down with you at coffee, I could find out pretty quickly that you do not know the God and you're not walking with him the one in whom you are so certain exists and is the one who gives you eternal life. I don't even know you. Like, I don't even know who this is applying to right now. But I'm pleading with you to see that you would not have, if you've leaned on apologetics or if your faith has been in apologetics, you may have an emotional state of where you think you're so pleased with God and God is so pleased with you. I mean, the Pharisees had that. And Jesus had to pull the rug out from underneath of them. You think you are the children of God. You think you are the true children of Abraham. I tell you, you are the children of your father, the devil. And you want to do your father's will. So I would challenge you, please humble yourself. What is the message? If you're a person who is drawn, because perhaps you're intellectually gifted, to apologetics, be willing to make the sacrifice and ask God to give you that kind of faith that comes only from heaven, regardless of what your intellectual capacity is. You may be a whole lot smarter than I am, and yet I found faith as a 15-year-old, broken, lost, teenage boy filled with all the stupidness and passions that teenagers are filled with. And I got my Bible out, and Jesus Christ revealed himself to me. John 17:6. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. End of commentary.